God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the past couple weeks and just how clear your word is about certain things, and especially about this. I get so excited just looking at this book that you have given to us, that you have given to us even when we didn't deserve to have it. This is not something that we kind of take it for granted because it's so common. The Bible is just everywhere. But that you decided out of your love for us to give us the information we needed to live our lives. You could have just left us here and to figure things out on our own, but you, our Creator, gave us all the information we need to live life the way we were intended to live life. May we be people that go to your word for everything that we need for life. And may we just respond to your word tonight when it talks about how to respond in looking at what we've looked at the last couple weeks. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at how to respond to the stuff we've been looking at. And the bottom line is this. We need to respond with personal Bible study. That's the term I'm going to use for us looking into God's word for ourselves. Understanding, going to that manual, we've been talking about this, going to that manual for all that we need for life. And our response should be to go to it. I know that sounds very simplistic, but it's the truth. Our response should be to go to it, to go to God's word, and to actually use it the way it was intended to be used. Flip over, if you want, in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9, or you can look right up here. And this is what Jeremiah chapter 9 says. It says, "Thus says the Lord." This is direct words from God given to Jeremiah. He says, "Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not a mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord." He starts out and he says, Bobby, he says, if you're smart, you shouldn't boast about being smart. If you are strong, you're like a buff guy, which I am totally not a buff guy, but if you're like a buff guy, don't brag about being a buff guy. If you are rich, you're loaded, you just like can buy anything that you possibly want, don't brag about being rich. And you could go on. Those were the things that people would easily brag about back then, but there's stuff that people brag about all the time now. If you're athletic, don't brag about being athletic. If you're popular, don't brag about being popular. If you're like a rugged mountain man and you can wrestle a bear with your own hands, don't brag about that. If you are like the nicest guy there ever was, you're actually not, because I am the nicest guy there ever was. No, I'm just kidding. If you're like the nicest guy there ever was, don't brag about the fact that you're the nicest guy there ever was. Because, not that those things are bad, those things are not bad. There's nothing wrong with them at all. But our lives should not be about those things. He says, don't make your life about those things. Make your life about one thing, and that's knowing God. If you want to brag about something, if you want to go around and go, man, I am awesome, be awesome about, make your life about knowing God. Brag about that. See, when I first met Melissa, we were teenage kids, and I didn't know Melissa at all. We met in our ninth grade math class, algebra class, and I didn't know Melissa at all. She was just this girl that sat behind me, I think, in math class, and I didn't know her at all. And I started to get to know her a little bit, just kind of superficially, and then I started going to the youth group that she was at and just kind of knew her on a real surface level. And I started to get to know her a little bit more as kind of like a friend. And we became just kind of passing friends because everybody in youth group was kind of friends, and so we were friends. But as I started to get to know her more and more, we became really good friends. And we became best friends. She became my best girl friend, my best friend that was a girl. And then as I got to know her more and more, we became girlfriend and boyfriend. And I got to know her even more. And I thought I really knew her very, really well, because we had known each other for like 6 years. And then we got married, and I realized I really didn't know her half as well as I thought I knew her. But I got to know her more as we were married. And we got closer and closer. And I still don't know everything there is to know about Melissa. But over time, I've gotten to know a lot about Melissa. And I could easily say that I know more about Melissa than any of you know about Melissa. And that's obvious because I've known her for a really long time. The same thing is true about God. You might not know God well, and you probably knew God less a couple years ago than you know him now. But hopefully you will know God better a couple years from now than you do know him now. It's about knowing God. Your life is not about just suddenly having all the knowledge there is to know about God, but your life should be about getting to know God, growing in that relationship with God. He gives us that opportunity to do that. So the question is, how do I get to know God? How do I know God better 2 years now from now than I do right now? Flip over to 1 Peter chapter 1 if you want to, or just look up here. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 24, says this. It says, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." He starts out and he says, all flesh, which the word flesh is a really cool word. I don't like that they translate it flesh because it sounds kind of weird. But flesh is this. Flesh is just a person. People are, bodies are, flesh. And usually flesh is talking about our own bodies, our own selves. And flesh actually is usually used in the context, and it's definitely used here this way, in trusting in flesh, trusting in a person, trusting in yourself, trusting in someone else. And he says, all of that, trusting in other people, trusting in your own abilities, trusting in your athleticism and your niceness and all those things, it's like grass and it's like a flower. The grass withers and the flower falls. It's temporary. It does not last. If you trust yourself to those things, it will not last. It will always fail you. Most people in our world, honestly, they look to flesh, they look to other people in a lot of different areas. But the biggest one that pretty much everyone I've ever encountered is looking for is that special someone. That girl you're thinking, girls you're thinking about guys you're thinking about girls. You're looking for that person that you can share the rest of your life with, that you can, and maybe if you're not even thinking that far, you're just like, oh, I just really want to look for fulfillment. Look to this other person because then I'll be complete, then I'll be whole. And he says, you know what? When you look to other people, when you look to yourself, it's only temporary. It's not going to last. And all those romantic movies about how, oh, they just got together and they've just been happy for the rest of their lives. It never happens. It never happened. It's fake. It's fiction. Because when you look to someone else, it's gonna fail. It's gonna fail. You know, newlyweds, they always say that there's that newlywed thing. Oh, look, they're so cute. They're newlyweds because they just love each other. And then they're like, it's like 5 years in and they're like fighting and, you know, yelling at each other and stuff. It doesn't last. When you look to the other person, it doesn't last. But he says this, but the word of the Lord endures forever. All of that stuff, all of the stuff when you're looking to other people or you're looking to your own life for fulfillment, to get what you need, it's only going to be temporary. But the word of the Lord endures forever. It's eternal. If you look to God's word, it's going to last. And he says, and this is the word that was preached to you. And then he says this, therefore. If you remember this, I think it was the first couple weeks, I talked about therefore. That anytime there's therefore in the Bible, you got to look. It's a really cheesy thing, analogy, but it works for me. You got to look for what the therefore is there for. Because anytime therefore is in the Bible, it is building on something before. So we've got the first principle here, that the word of the Lord is the only thing that is going to last in our lives. So, knowing that, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. He says, since you know that the Bible is the only thing, God's word is the only thing that's going to last, you need to get rid of, and he lists a bunch of things there, and you need to long for God's word. Like a newborn baby, long for God's word. I don't know if you guys have been around newborn babies much, and I hadn't been around newborn babies a whole lot until we had Ellie and Clark. And when, especially like when we had Ellie and it was so new and everything was like, oh, this is fantastic. And then we had Clark a year later and it was just getting old by then. Not that it wasn't great to have Clark, it was awesome. It was awesome. I can tell you, I saw pictures of back then that just bring me back to the time when I was holding this little cute baby in my hands. She was the most beautiful thing there ever was. She was awesome. And it was great for about 2 days. And then she was so needy. Newborn babies are so needy. Ask any of these parents out here, they will tell you they suck up all your time. They need everything from you. Everything. They can't do anything without you. Babies sleep, they eat, and they poop. That is all they ever do. And it gets old fast. But they need you. They need you for everything. And he says, just like a newborn baby has those needs, particularly the need of hunger to be satisfied. They have that hunger for milk. And you know what? If they didn't get that milk, they would, what would happen?
Cry.
They would what?
Cry.
They would cry. They would start out crying. They would probably get pretty sick. And they would get really skinny. And then they would end up dying, right?
Okay.
They need that. They can't do anything without that. So, he says, just like that, that's exactly how we should be with God's word. God's word has everything we need. We've already looked at that. And so, because it does, we need to hunger after God's word. But he starts out and he says, you need to put off all this stuff. Put aside, which means like strip it off, get rid of it, get it out of your life. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. He could go on and on and on and on and on. All of these things, all of these sinful areas in our lives, he says, get rid of those things. And long hunger for the pure milk of the word. The reason why is those things are going to keep that hunger from growing inside of you. Those things in your life that you're holding on to, those fleshly people desires that you are holding on to, that you might be holding on to, those things are only going to keep your hunger from growing for God's word. He says, get rid of that stuff. Put that stuff out of your lives by any means that you can. Put it out so that you will be hungry for the word, like a newborn baby. Because all that you need comes from God's word. So the first point is this: if your life is going to be anything, if your life is going to be about anything, is what it should say there, let it be about knowing God and his word. That's what our lives should be about. That's what our lives should revolve around. Those other things are fine that we're involved with, but our lives should be marked by the fact that we hunger and thirst for God's word. 2 Peter 3 says this. Flip over there if you want, or look up here if you want. It says this. As you're hungering, we'll look at this next principle. It says, regard the patience of the Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, which Paul wrote a good part of the New Testament, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all of his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. He starts out and he says, Paul's writings, which God inspired Paul to write, Paul's writings are hard to understand. The scriptures, God's word, is hard to understand. On a scale of 1 to 10, how easy is the Bible to understand? Somebody tell me. 1 being it is impossible to understand. 10 being it is simple. Everything is really clear and understandable. How easy is God's word to understand? Be honest. 2. How easy is God's word to understand? Somebody else tell me. Is that a 4 or a 5? 3. Is God's word hard to understand? If you just open it up, is it hard to understand that stuff? Even if you can read, isn't it hard to understand sometimes? And God's word even says it's hard to understand sometimes. And because it's hard to understand, there are going to be people that will come in, and trust me, there are plenty of people like this, that are either untaught, which means they're ignorant, they just don't understand God's word, but they want to talk about God's word, and they want to tell you all about God's word, even though they don't understand it. They will come in and they will twist God's word because they're ignorant. They don't understand. Ignorant is not like in a bad way, like you call somebody ignorant, but they just don't understand God's word, and so they twist it. It says the untaught and the unstable, people that really are not looking for your good, are going to distort God's word because it is hard to understand. And so he says this in verse 17. He says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and for eternity, and to the day of eternity. Amen. He says, be on guard. Because there are going to be people like that, and because the word is hard to understand sometimes, be on guard. Don't just eat up what anyone tells you about God's word. Because I will tell you, you will experience, I can almost guarantee you will experience probably multiple times in your life, someone who is either untaught or unstable trying to teach you God's word, trying to tell you what God's word says. And if you bite on that and you go for it, it is going to hurt you. It is not going to be what's beneficial for you. Be on guard. But the issue still is this. God's word is hard to understand. Well, if someone's telling me something that they're distorting and twisting, how can I know what God's word says? How can I even know that they're distorting and twisting it? Because it's hard to understand. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, and this is just where we're going to start. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of Scripture. He says, your response should be this. Be diligent. Be a hard worker. Since I've been here, and I've only been here a short time, I have heard about some of you guys, just in the short time I've been here, that you guys are hard workers. Some of you guys are hard workers. I've heard it in regards to like physical labor, like putting sheetrock up or something like that. I've heard it in regards to sports things. I've heard that some of you are hard workers in areas of your lives. And probably for most of you guys, there's probably at least an area of your life that you go, yeah, I work pretty hard at doing that. Even if it's like, I work pretty hard at being really good at Madden football on the Wii. You know, I work really hard at something. But God says this, be diligent, be a hard worker, so that you will be approved to God as a workman, as a laborer, who does not need to be ashamed, in this way, that you accurately handle the word of truth. Which means this, that you look at God's word and you work hard to understand really what God is saying. Not what someone tells you God is saying, what God is really saying. But again, it's hard to understand. How do we do that? How do we look at it? Even if I want to work hard to understand God's word, how do I do that? John 14, verse 23. It's already there. Starting in verse 23. Says this. Says, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode, our home, with him. First thing he says is this, if you love me, which most of you guys do, love God, then we will come, God and me, Jesus, not me, but Jesus, we will come and live and make our home in you. You will be our house. And he goes on, he says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, while hanging out with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. The first thing is this, in understanding God's word and in trying to be a good laborer, a worker in understanding what God's word says, the first thing is this. You have an amazing resource. If you have decided to trust Jesus with your life, you and I have an amazing resource. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, lives inside of us. He has made his home inside of us. His Spirit is inside of us. And he does multiple things, but one of the things that he does, one of the most important things he does is this. Verse 26, it says, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance, remind you, all that I said to you. Understand this. As you honestly open up God's word and take a look at it and want to dive into it and understand it, you have a teacher already with you all the time. And do not sell short that fact. Because as you honestly come to God's word and you honestly want to go, I want to understand what this means, and I want to apply it to my life, and I want it to work as a manual for my life, God will teach you all things. He will. He will. Because he said he will. I can tell you this, my job as a teacher, and teachers are an important part of the body, they are, just like every other part of the body is important. They're an important part of the body. My job as a teacher is just to try to help make things easily understandable so that you can easily gobble up what God's word says. But trust me when I say this, I never am under the delusion ever that I truly teach you anything. The only person that has ever taught you anything that we've looked at in God's word is his Spirit. Not you, not yourself, but is God's Spirit. He is the one that is teaching you everything. Trust him. That's the place to start. Going on from there, I have some practical suggestions too, which is this. First one is this. I think it's on your handout there. Make time for personal Bible study. This is easily the hardest one. I could take a poll, but I would know for you guys, you would probably say this is the hardest thing to do. To make time for personal Bible study, for you to open God's word and to look at God's word and to understand God's word. But the bottom line is this. Unless you're consistently in God's word, how can you really know God? And how can you really know, how can you really be that approved workman, that someone who is laboring after understanding God's word? If you're just someone who comes to youth group every week and you go, you know what? Nate will tell me what I need to know. You are wrong. No. You need to look at God's word for yourself. It's your responsibility, not my responsibility, not the staff's responsibility, not anyone else in your life's responsibility, but yours to understand what God's word says. When you stand before God, God is not going to say, oh, you know what? That person, I know they distorted God's word and you bought into it, and that's their fault, so don't worry about it. No, he's going to say, you need to work hard at being an approved workman who correctly handles the word of truth. You. Now, of course, that guy's going to be held accountable too, and I'm going to be held accountable for being a teacher too. But he's going to hold you accountable for what you did with his word. Make time for personal Bible study. And having said that, I am the last person who's going to tell you that you need to get up at 6 o'clock every morning before school and you need to read God's word for an hour straight, and that is what you need to do every morning. And to be pleasing to God, that's what you have to do. I'm the last person that's going to tell you that, because I don't see foundation for that in God's word. But I will tell you this. You need to long after the pure spiritual milk of the word like a baby. You need to hunger for it with like it is what you need for life, because it is. That you would not live tomorrow if you did not go to God's word for the truth. That's how you need to live for it. And so for you, that might be you open up the word every other day. You open up the word every weekday, but not on the weekends. It might be for you that you open up God's word and you look at it 3 times a day. I don't know what it is for you. But you need to seek out a personal time of Bible study with God. Because what you need to live is in there. And you're only going to get droplets, individual little feedings, if you rely on other people to be your source for truth. You need to look at it for yourself. So that's the first thing. And just practical stuff, I would recommend, this is just me recommending things, I would recommend a few things. One, if you don't know where to start when you're looking at God's word, read a whole book from start to finish in one sitting. It doesn't take long, especially if you're reading like one of the letters in the last part of the New Testament, the second two-thirds of the New Testament. Those letters, most of them don't take very long to read. And I would recommend you read one from start to finish, because that's how they were intended to be read originally. It's good to look at sections of Scripture too, don't get me wrong, but when you sit down, you might just take, oh, I'm going to take Colossians, and I'm just going to read it start to finish. Because those were originally letters. I think most of you guys probably know that. And Paul or Peter or whoever wrote them sent them out, and they usually were read like a letter. Do you ever get a letter from someone, and we don't usually do letters anymore, or get an email from someone, and you read like the first couple paragraphs, and you're like, man, that was deep stuff. I'm going to come back to that letter later. Do you ever do that? No, you read the whole thing. You read it from start to finish. You get a view of what the intention of the letter is if you look at it from start to finish. So that's one suggestion for you. The other suggestion is this. Use a reading plan, a Bible reading plan. If you have one of those Bibles that is a study Bible, by the way, if you're ever going to get a Bible, if someone's going to buy one for you or something, recommend that they get you a study Bible. Study Bibles are great because they have lots of good resources. And one of those resources is you can have a reading plan, which will show you, like, on this day, read this section of verses. And it'll break it up for you. And you can just go through and you can use that reading plan. You can read, like, the whole New Testament in a year or two. So it's a good way to go. That's one way to go. Or if you want to spend time looking at, like, a topic, like, you know, how does God's word apply to this area of my life, grab a devotional book. I don't know if you guys have ever used a devotional book before, but they are based on a topic. They go through kind of a certain topic, like respecting authority or something like that. And you can go through and you can read all about what God's word says on a regular basis about that. And you can buy those at a Bible bookstore. You can go online. There's a bunch of stuff online for devotions. Which actually, if you want to write this down, there's a cool site for students called realstudentlife.com, R-E-A-L, studentlife.com. And that is a site that is all completely geared towards students, your guys' age, and it has devotions there. Everyday devotions that you can look into. So check that out. The second thing I want to recommend to you is to do this. When you open up God's Word and you read it, and you want to understand a particular passage, use this four-step study guide. And if someone can hand those out while I'm talking about this. Four-step study guide just basically brings you through this. It's a little sheet. I'm going to hand this out. And by the way, this, if you do want to start using this, this is on the website. If you guys have checked out our youth website. This is under the teaching page. It just says four-step study. You can click on it and you can print this off. But it has four sections. And the first one is this. It says, what does it say? You read and you look at what the passage says and you just go, what does it say? What is that passage saying? And usually the good way to do this is that you read it and then you can rewrite what it says in your own words. Really effective to do that. It really get you to think about what it's actually saying instead of just reading through it. Because I don't know about you, I don't know if you've ever tried to do this, but when I first started going, I'm going to have my own personal Bible study time, I would open up God's Word and I would do it at like 5:30 in the morning and I would read through a paragraph and I would shut it and I'd be like, all right, great, I'm going back to bed. And I didn't remember a single thing that I read in that paragraph. I read the paragraph, but I didn't get anything that it was saying. So this first step here makes you read that and think about what it's saying. What is it actually saying? And you can rewrite it. You guys can look at that. It has a little thing. Read it over many times. Rewrite it in your own words. And write any questions that you have. Because you might encounter something that you go, I don't really understand what this is saying here. That is the first step. And as you approach that first step, I'm going to recommend to you that you get a translation of the Bible that is easy for you to read. If you don't know this, the Bible was originally written in Hebrew, the Old Testament, and Greek in the New Testament. And it was translated into English. It was not written in English. So you want to find a translation, something how it was translated, that is easy for you to read. And I'll just give you an example here. I think I have a slide on it. Yeah. Let's give you an example from Luke 17. This is Luke 17, verses 1 and 2. We'll start on the King James Version. This is what it says. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Did you guys pick up all that? Yeah. Not a huge fan of King James. King James was great for a while, but it is written in words and in phrases that we just don't think in that kind of phrasing anymore. We just don't. And it uses words that we don't even use anymore. But you take that same passage and you go to the New International Version, which says, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to the person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. A little easier to understand. And actually, for some of you guys, you might go, yeah, it's really easy to understand. That's totally the translation for me. A New International Version is not a bad version to use at all. But there's even, I guess, easier to understand versions. They call them paraphrases. They take actually the English translation of things and they try to make it in everyday common English. Now, sometimes you lose a little bit of accuracy with paraphrases, but they are really easy to read. And let me give you an example. The Message is a paraphrase that I personally really like. And it says, he said to the disciples, hard trials and temptations are bound to come, but too bad for whoever brings them on. Better to wear a millstone necklace and take a swim in the deep blue sea than to give even one of these dear little ones a hard time. Isn't that kind of how we talk? That's just more modern day how we talk. So find a translation that is easy for you. Now you might go, well, how do I find that translation? Write this down. This is the most important thing I'm going to say to you tonight. And by the way, all of these links are under that teaching link on our website. This one is study, S-T-U-D-Y, light, like flashlight, studylight.org. Okay? You hop on to studylight.org, and I was going to show you it tonight, but we are so out of time, and I wouldn't have showed it anyway because we were going to run out of time. And it is this. It is like Google for the Bible. You can search anything you want in the Bible. You can search words. You can search passages. And it also has a huge listing of a bunch of Bibles. You should just check them out. See which one is going to work best for you just to read through God's Word and to understand God's Word. Because there's a whole bunch of them there. Go, just go. Including all three of these versions that you see up here. So check that out. So you look at God's Word, you read, for instance, if we're reading that passage that was just up there, you would just rewrite it. Rewrite what that says in your own words. How would you say that particular statement that was up there? That's the first step. Second, and that step also includes writing any questions. Would any of you immediately have any questions about that passage that we just read? Does anybody know what a millstone is? That you wear around your neck? No, actually it's not. Do you guys know what a millstone is? That might be something that you would circle and go, what the heck is a millstone? And that might be a question for you. And then we would go on to, what does it mean? That's the second thing. And this is where we go and we look at, and we understand what it says, we read what it says, but what does the verse actually mean? What does the passage actually mean? And to do that, we can look at a dictionary. Like you can look up millstone in the dictionary, and it's they used to use stones to grind grain, and that's a millstone. It was a massive stone. So you might look up a definition. You can also look up commentaries. Commentaries are books that teachers of the Bible have written that kind of explain and give you more insight into what that passage is saying. Some of you might be going, well, I don't happen to have a set of commentaries sitting at my house. So that's why you go to studylight.org. Studylight.org has like 15, I think, commentaries on it. And it's really easy. It's really easy to navigate and really easy to click through, just like Google would be easy to click through. And you can click on a commentary, you type in a passage, you click on a commentary, and you can read what teachers would say about that. But as you're reading that commentary, keep in mind that the untaught, which probably doesn't apply to those guys, but the unstable might twist God's word. Just keep that in mind. Okay, so study what God's word says. What does it mean? Dictionary definitions, helpful commentary information. Then the third step, even more important than the last two steps, which is this. What does it mean to me? To read God's word and walk away from it and go, well, that's great information. That's not using it as a handbook for your life. You need to look at God's word and you need to walk away going, how is that going to apply to my life? What does that mean to my life? Do I need to change something, the way I think about something? Do I need to change the way I'm living? Do I need to change something that I'm doing that is destructive for my life and do something that is good for my life? What does it mean to me? And the last step, which is, what am I going to do about it? Easily the most important step in the whole thing, which is this. You know what it means. You know what it means to you. And then the last question is, and you should write this down and be very specific about this. How is this going to change my life? What am I going to do differently tomorrow that I wasn't doing today? Very, very important thing to do. Because I'm just going to say this, I'm just going to say this. It is a complete waste of time for you to read God's word and not understand what it means, not apply it to your life, and not walk away changed. Complete waste of your time. Why even do it? Complete waste of your time. Because if it's not the manual for your life, if it's not the thing that creates life change for you, it's just cool information. Just like reading a history book would be. It's got to change your life. You got to walk away different. So that's the last thing. And then the last suggestion I'm going to have for you is to use topical resources. This is for the troubleshooting part of the manual. Remember we talked about one of the things that God's Word does is it troubleshoots. Something's going wrong in my life. I don't know the answer to it. I need the answer to it. Some of you guys have already asked me in the last couple weeks, well, how do I look up this thing? I want to know about this. I want to know about this situation. I want to know what God says about having a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I want to know what God's Word says about how I'm supposed to treat my parents. Whatever it is, use a topical study. And what I'm going to recommend to you, also another website, which you can check out on our teaching link on the website, you can write this down too though, is WBSA. I have no idea what that stands for. WBSA.logos.com, L-O-G-O-S.com. Sweet resource. It looks also very much like Google or something like that. You type in anything, almost any subject, and it will pull up every passage in the Bible that refers to that subject. Even if you put something like marijuana, which marijuana does not appear in God's Word, it is going to pull up what God's Word says about marijuana. It will. It is an awesome resource, another Google-type resource for God's Word. But it's topical. It does, actually. It doesn't use the word marijuana, but it talks about principles that you need to use when you're approaching that the topic of marijuana. And the other topical resource to use is people. Wise people. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." It is important for you that if you are looking for an answer to something and you can't find it, go to someone who is going to take you to God's Word. Don't go to someone who's going to give you advice. That's not a bad thing. But go to someone who is going to take you back to God's Word, who is going to be that resource for you and go, what does God's Word say about marijuana? And go to someone who can take you to that source. Use people. Because as good as someone's opinion might be about something, they'll just go, oh, this is what I think about it. God's Word is the best source. Bottom of your handout, guys. This is the same thing we've been going over the last couple weeks. I'm just going to read it again. God has given us a handbook, a manual for our lives. Only when we are reading God's Word and trusting in what He says can we live life to the fullest. The life God intended for us when we were created. A life with purpose and meaning. A life of walking in the light and not in the darkness. And you guys see how that statement is true based on what we've been looking at the past few weeks. Last two questions just for you. And honestly, I want to take just a couple of minutes here for you to look at these questions. And I want each of you guys to write something down in response to this. No. First question is this. Where are you looking for the answers to your life? And maybe even the question is, where are you going to look for the answers to your life? And be honest with yourself. No one else is going to read this. Be honest with yourself. And the second question is this. Are you using the handbook for your life, the manual for your life? Are you using it? Write a couple things down, and then we'll pray. Still writing, you can keep writing as I pray. God, I again just thank you for your word. I am just continually blown away and challenged by your truth. I just think back to when I was younger and how hard it was for me to consistently get into your word. And God, I just don't want that for this group, for these people, for these students that want to know you. May we put all of our effort into knowing your word. May we make our lives about that. Not about this other stuff that we're involved in. Not that we have to quit the other stuff we're involved in, Lord, but that we would make our lives about knowing you and knowing your word. But God, you know, it's hard to do sometimes. It does take hard work. Sometimes it's real easy to understand, but sometimes it is hard work. But God, I pray that you would take the hard work that we put into other things and help us to apply that to your word. That really when we don't understand something, that we wouldn't just gloss over it and move on, but that we would truly just take the time to look at what your word means and what it means for us. And that we would walk away every time looking at your word and being changed by it.